You are listening to the ICW Safety Sound Off audio series.
Welcome. My name is Rob Nisus. I'm the Senior Risk Management Consultant with ICW Group in Los Angeles.
And I'm Lisa Barlow, a Senior Risk Management Consultant out of the Los Angeles metro area.
We'd like to talk a little bit about accident investigations today. Some of the things that we find when we're out in the field is that our insureds oftentimes think they're doing an accident investigation. And in fact, what they're doing is pretty minimal, and we're not getting down to the root cause. Lisa, could you kind of explain what a root cause is and maybe what a root cause analysis might look like?
So a root cause is the underlying cause of an accident, and it takes a while to get there. Normally, when people do accident investigations or incident investigations, whichever term you would prefer, they're typically using a form. And the form captures basic information, but they're not always digging deeper to what actually caused the accident.
Great. You know, I heard you for just a second talk about the difference between an accident or an incident investigation. I think maybe it's great to kind of explain the difference between the two, because accidents are one thing, but an incident may be something that no one actually gets injured, correct?
Correct. An accident, typically you have damage. There's damage to a person, damage to equipment, property. When there's an incident, that's a situation where something almost happens, where somebody almost gets hurt, where something almost gets damaged. And these are often called near misses in the industry. These create opportunities to implement solutions before the serious accident happens. Unfortunately, most companies don't investigate and they don't take steps. When people report things, it's typically because they feel they have to, because something's damaged.
From a root cause standpoint, what you're saying is root cause is basically the same. It's just the difference is someone got injured or something got damaged. So we now transition into what we'd call an accident rather than an incident.
Yes, there's root causes to both of those. I often see many insureds are not very strong at attaining those in either situation.
You know, I've often heard the analogy that, you know, two people are walking along and they trip over the same item. And one gets up and walks away and the other one breaks her shoulder. But the root cause is exactly the same as the item that they tripped over.
Yes, but there could be other factors as well. Were they rushing? Were they distracted? Was there something in the environment that contributed? How's the lighting? There's many different factors that need to be considered. And the problem is that most insureds will stop at the employee level. They'll stop at, oh, well, this employee did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And they're not digging into, well, what part of the system contributed to this accident?
So you're saying that they basically get to the point where, oh, somebody made a mistake or they did something wrong, so that's the accident causation, when in fact that may not really be what happened.
That's correct. So an example of this, I worked with an insured that worked in a milling shop, and they had a very strict rule that employees were not supposed to wear long sleeves. Actually, I shouldn't say it was a strict rule because it was just a rule that they didn't really follow. Mm-hmm. So an employee one day wore long sleeves, the machine got jammed, and the employee's arm was pulled into the machine, and he had a broken arm. I looked at the incident investigation that the insured filled out, and they listed the root cause as the employee's fault. The employee did not follow the rules. So if you limit your causes to that level, you're going to limit your solutions. So basically their solutions based on that, and that report was disciplining the employees.
So Lisa, I know that sounds very interesting. Are there any techniques that we can use to get to the root cause?
Yeah, so you ask why multiple times. So in this situation, the question to ask was, why was this employee wearing long sleeves? Well, the reason this employee was wearing long sleeves was because it was cold. Why was it cold? The roll-up doors in that building had to be maintained open. So why did the roll-up doors have to be maintained open? Well, there was another machine that did not have local exhaust and was relying on general ventilation.
Interestingly enough, we thought the sleeves were the problem, when in fact, that's not the issue at all. That's not the cause.
Yeah, so one of the causes relates to a completely unrelated machine not having local exhaust. And the methods don't stop at, that's one branch of causation. So you look at roots of a tree and you have multiple branches. There's another set of whys that were asked for this particular incident. So the other set of whys is, why did the machine jam? Well, the maintenance person was on vacation. So why was he working on a machine that hadn't been maintained? Well, that was their policy.
Wow. That's really interesting. So sometimes I've heard it called the five whys, and I think that's what you're alluding to. Although five's kind of a bad choice of words because it's not just five sometimes. But the why focus can be multiple different directions.
So now you have a much more robust set of solutions to address this accident versus them stopping at blaming the employee. What's to stop another employee from wearing long sleeves because they're cold?
I think this whole thing circles around asking questions. Are there really any techniques to asking questions, or is it just sitting down and grilling someone and finding out what the fault is?
Definitely. You don't want to grill anybody. You want to put them at ease. So one technique is to ask open-ended questions. Mm. So that will increase the scope of the answer you get. If you just say, were you on a forklift? Well, it's either a yes or no. You're not getting much information versus saying, what were you doing when you got hurt?
That's a great way of doing that. You know, I've never thought about the open-ended question concept of saying some things that force people to actually give you an answer rather than a yes or no.
The more information you can get from the questions, the better your incident investigation is going to be.
One of the things that I've heard is, instead of saying, tell me, is using words like share with me how this happened, take me through the process, give me an example of how this worked, something like that. Any thoughts on those types of ideas?
Particularly when you're dealing with an injured worker, the softer the language you can use, the better. Because if you look at things from their perspective, they're hurt, they may have violated a safety rule, and they may be reluctant to share what actually happened.
That's a great point, because they may think they're going to get disciplined.
Correct.
So what we were really talking about is you want to be fact-finding, not fault-finding. And if there's fault that is found, that's addressed as a completely separate issue.
Yes. If the tone of your investigation is to assign blame, you're not going to get much information.
Great point. And I think it's interesting also to remember that maybe the causation has nothing to do with the injured employee. And the discovery process has to look at, hey, they wrecked the forklift, we'll say as an example. But it may have something completely, the causation may have been completely unrelated to the individual driving.
Absolutely. You have to look at the system. You have to look at what other factors. And that's where asking why multiple times helps you get into what part of the system contributed to the accident.
You know, I remember an example one time when I was working in the field where the forklift driver had set the pallet down on someone's foot. And the policy was they would discipline people if they had an accident. And had nothing to do with the injured person whatsoever. It was a bad forklift driver. So what would you do in a scenario like that? What advice might you give a business owner or a safety person on disciplining people who are injured?
Well, you always have to look at what are the incentives to the behaviors you want. So if they've created an incentive structure around not reporting accidents, well, that's what you're going to get.
Good point. I didn't think about incentives. So incentives can deter accidents, but they also can be problematic when it comes to investigating.
Yes, it depends on how you structure your incentives. If you're focusing around what's called leading indicators, so safe behaviors, that tends to be stronger than using lagging indicators or the number of accidents you've had as a way to reward employees.
When we're talking about accident investigations, do you think it's important to get supervisors involved? Do we think that maybe having documentation is important? What do you see as valuable tools?
Absolutely. You definitely want to have supervisors involved. You want to have forms that are a good starting point, but you don't want to depend on those forms just to get the information. And many insureds look at incident investigations as a way to collect information to process a claim and not to assess the cause.
Right. So actually managing a claim and assessing the root cause of the incident are two completely different things.
Yes, they're absolutely two different things. Claims wants to know if something's compensable. The claims wants to know, did this accident happen at work and is it workers' comp? From a risk management standpoint, we want to know what caused the accident and what needs to be changed to prevent this accident from happening again.
You know, that's a really good point. I mean, when I talk to my consultants that are out in the field in the LA market, we often talk about the fact that it doesn't matter how severe the injury is. We don't even want to talk necessarily about what happened after that, other than return to work, which can be a valuable piece of information for insurers to have or customers to have. But what we talk about is really, what is the root cause? It doesn't matter how serious the injury is. It doesn't matter how it was handled. It's about what caused it so we can prevent it from happening again.
Right. And management needs to see that accident as something that legitimately happened in order to take those steps. One of the problems we get into, particularly in the Los Angeles area, is the mentality that claims are fraud and that employees are trying to abuse the system. And it can be a challenge, particularly for consultants working in that market. You have to get agreement on the fact that there is a problem. And then you can, once you get agreement on the problem, then you can discuss solutions.
True. You know, you have to sort of admit something's wrong before you can fix it. That's right. What I've sort of always heard. Now, one of the things I do think is really important when doing accident investigation is that it is confidential as well. We want to make sure that people feel like they're in a safe environment so that they can share information, or you're just not going to get the right resources or maybe as good of an investigation. How do you feel about that?
Yes, you need to set up the situation so that the person feels more comfortable opening up. And this also could be deciding who's the one that's asking the questions. Mm-hmm. Is it the manager that has an adversarial relationship with the employees, or maybe an HR person might be the one that would be better to ask the questions? It really just depends on the situation. But one thing that you want to consider is if you're going to be asking questions of witnesses, you want to make sure that they're separated so that the stories reflect their perception and not the combined perception of all the witnesses.
Ah, that's a great, so influencing each other. Good idea to do investigations or root cause analysis, I guess is a better choice of words, individually rather than in a group so that they don't influence each other's comments.
Yes. And other things you can also consider is go out to the location where it happened and see if you can do a reenactment in a safe way, of course.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yes. Yeah. We don't need another accident trying to solve an accident problem. But, no. Do you think photos are helpful?
Yes, photos are helpful. It will help give more perspective to whoever's reviewing that accident.
Well, I also think, you know, I found frequently when I helped do accident investigations when I was in production and, you know, back in the factories years ago, that the accidents also sometimes helped you to find things you didn't even know existed. It's real easy to overlook problems. Maybe the forklift, if there's an injury with that, had a bad tire and you wouldn't even notice that had you not taken a picture, or the seatbelt wasn't in place. You know, maybe it wasn't working. And sometimes those photos are really helpful in that regard.
Yes, particularly when you have management that's disconnected from the line operation. Incident investigations can reveal things about the operation that maybe upper management was not aware of. And it can be a reflection on the safety culture, because if employees don't feel comfortable bringing up hazards, that could definitely be part of the root cause analysis. Why are they not comfortable discussing hazards?
That's a great point. I also think it's really important to note that we wouldn't want to take pictures of the injured and associate or employee just because it's just not the right thing to do. It's disrespectful, and it can be termed as discriminatory to some degree, correct?
Absolutely. You have to be very careful not to take actions against an injured employee that you wouldn't have taken on an employee that was not injured.
That's a great point. The injuries really are relevant in any type of disciplinary action.
Yes.
And thank you, Lisa, for sharing that information. If you need resources, please feel free to go on to icwgroup.com, and you'll be able to find different types of tools and resources to help you with your accident or incident investigations in the future.
Join us next time on our next Safety Sound Off audio series as we enhance our lives, protect our health, and help each other create a culture of safety.